The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Jesus arrived in Bethany, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." The Gospel of the Lord. To be honest with you for a second, when I first heard of Rosalie's passing and got in touch with Gretchen and the family, I was a little surprised. I expected the funeral to be here at Christ the King, and we would, you know, be able to accommodate whatever they needed. And she said, "Well, going to be out of town next week, so how about the 29th? I thought, well, it seems like a little bit of a time to wait, but okay, that's fine with me. It's a little abnormal, but it's not the end of the world. But actually, having realized not then that today is the feast of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, it seems very fitting, actually, that we celebrate her funeral mass here on the 29th of July. So, I mean, it is your fault, Gretchen, but the Lord uses even those things for his good. Because this reading is, in fact, what Rosalie had picked out many years ago, I think, for her funeral mass. She wouldn't have had any way of knowing it would be on this feast day of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And it's fitting that we celebrate these three people that were part of a family, that were siblings. They may have been kind of distantly related to Jesus, but we know for sure that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were brothers and sisters. For a woman who had such great love for her own family, right, for her immediate family, for Bob and Gretchen and all of the grandchildren and the extended family, but also for her siblings and cousins and nieces and nephews, the woman that made sure that there were 50 years of Thanksgiving that would happen to bring everybody together. And yet it's fitting that we happen to be celebrating the funeral mass on a day that remembers those siblings and that family of Bethany. But also because in many ways, I think Rosalie was like each of the people in the story. She was in some ways like Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Like Martha, because Bob said she never worked a day in her life for pay. That did not mean she was sitting around doing nothing. She was a busy lady. She was doing things generously for others, sewing dresses for Gretchen, even though they could have just bought new ones, going out and helping generously in our schools, in our Catholic parishes, in so many other charities and helpful things that she supported. I don't want you to think it was all good or that I'm making her into a saint. Father Joe said she spent a lot of time at Rolling Hills as well, so a lot of it was virtuous, some of it was play, and that's fine. But she was, like Martha, she wasn't just going to sit around and wait for something to happen. She wanted to go and do things generously for those that she cared about. Not to kind of hide from those things, but to be able to kind of share the good things that she had received in her own life and show them that that wasn't just for her. That it's actually meant to multiply and to be given to others. But also like Mary, who sat close to the Lord, who listened to God's word, I think that was true for Rosalie as well. Maybe in a quieter sense, but I know for a fact that she played this organ for a really, really, really long time for many, many Sundays. I don't think that was just so that we could make sure that we had music here on Sunday Mass at Christ the King. It was also to offer her praise and thanks to the Lord God, to come and worship him and to know that she needed to be close to him in his goodness, much like Mary did. And she sat at the foot of Jesus, listening to him and receiving what he wanted to give. Just 4 or 5 years ago, I kind of got here at Christ the King right at the tail end of COVID, so it was an awkward kind of getting everything started again. And I remember seeing Bob and Rosalie fairly regularly, and everybody told me, well, Rosalie's always the one that played the organ at 8 o'clock. And I said, okay, well, I've got no objections. And she didn't really say anything or present herself to me initially. So finally, honestly, got the courage up one Sunday, saw her sitting there before Mass, and I just thought, I'll just tell her if she wants to play, she can play. If she doesn't, it's not a big deal, you know? So I went up and I talked to her and said, you know, Rosie, I heard you've played at 8 o'clock. If you want to start doing that again, I'm fine with it. And I could tell she got a little bit uncomfortable because she wanted to help. I think she felt like she should be able to do it. But I think she also knew herself in that moment to knowing that both mentally and probably physically, she couldn't really play the organ anymore. So she wanted to. She wanted to have that expression of loving the Lord, but she couldn't anymore. And she kind of said, no, Father, I don't think it's a great idea. And I said, well, that's fine. I wanted to give you the opportunity. It's not a problem. But I think that showed kind of her interior life, that it wasn't just about doing these things like Martha. But she did have this quiet interiorness that allowed her to listen to the Lord as Mary did. In some ways, hopefully she is also like Lazarus. Lazarus, who in the reading today we heard, is the one that is physically resurrected after his earthly death. And more important than just kind of that miracle, shows that Lazarus trusted that the only thing that could overcome death is the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. It wasn't going to happen through his sisters. It wasn't going to happen through anything he could do, but only through being united to Christ. Truly, brothers and sisters, that's what we come to pray for in this funeral mass. That Rosalie, united to Christ, her Savior, can be brought to the heavenly kingdom, can experience that resurrection that Lazarus experienced on earth with Jesus. Because to be honest, as lovely and generous as Rosalie was, the sad and difficult part is she is not here. That woman that we remember and that we are thankful for is not here. Her body's here. She is no longer with us. It doesn't change any of the memories or the love and gratitude that we have for her. But there is a sense of loss that she is not here. She's not here to speak to us. She's not here to hug us or to show us that generous love. The church always wants to remind us that there is reason for hope. Our hope is not that her body will come back to life like Lazarus's did. He ultimately died again. I don't know if you've noticed, he's not walking around earth anywhere. We're not hoping that she'll rise from this grave, but our hope is that she will experience that resurrection of Jesus Christ for eternal life. That just as Jesus was united to her in this life, he can be united to her even now in eternal life, even after earthly death. So I hope that our hope can be founded on what God had done for her in her life. And just as the Lord provided for her from an early age, as God provided for her through her marriage with Bob, raising their family, as God provided for her all throughout her life, God doesn't stop doing that. Brothers and sisters, that is the foundation of our hope as Christians. That is why we offer this Mass for the repose of her soul. She can be united to Christ just as she was through baptism, confirmation, and the Holy Eucharist. And really the transformative thing about that is then it's not just for her. We also have hope for ourselves. That those who remain, those that are truly saddened and missing her absence, that we too can find hope. Knowing that God wants to be present for us today as well. Comforting us with his promise of eternal life, but also showing us how to be guided by the light of faith. Even in a time of darkness and sadness, he will provide for us, showing us a way to experience now the goodness and generosity of Christ our Savior. Through the rest of this Mass, let us pray for the eternal repose of our beloved Rosalie. Knowing that God had given her so many good gifts and graces in this life, and trusting that he will not stop doing that for her today. Let's also pray for ourselves. We can be comforted and be filled with hope, knowing that the Lord wants to help us, wants to guide us with the light of faith, showing us that light of Christ, even in the darkness of death. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May she rest in peace. Amen. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.